Psalm 1:4-5. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty, and on your wondrous works, I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deed, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness, and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works. The Lord upholds all who are falling, and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand, you satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Shall we just pray together? Father, we pray that you'll open your word to our hearts, and then open our hearts to your word, and use your word in our lives to bring glory to your name, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Amen.
I do want to say thank you, first of all, to Martin and to you all for welcoming us into your fellowship. It's been a great delight for us to come again and to see old friends and to make new friends. Thank you for that. And we remember you day by day, as we have our times of quiet at home and have done for a number of years now. So thank you, and it's been great for us. We've enjoyed it immensely. This is the third in the mini-series on friendship with God, and the title today is Celebrating God. And we're going to look at Psalm, or parts of Psalm 145, and if you'd like to follow with me, you'll find it on page 630. In June 2006, Israeli scientists successfully germinated a 2,000-year-old palm seed found in Herod's fortress of Masada on the west bank of the Dead Sea. They called it Methuselah, after the man in the Bible with the oldest recorded age. They demonstrated that time is not a factor, nor the barren ground of circumstance. And this was a matter for great celebration. In the Old Testament, the date palm is linked to the temple and to the presence of God. and God's promise to bless Abraham and his seed came to fruition 2,000 years after the promise was made. And that promise sprouted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Ever since, his story has been told to the nations and goes out to the nations. This too, I think, is something to celebrate. And I think celebration is one of the distinctive activities of God's people. In verse 21 here, we read, "My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever." Just another psalm which I was reading this morning in the same vein. "I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all the marvelous things you have done. I will be filled with joy because of you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High." Psalm 9. So the Psalms are full of praise, and the Christian church needs to be full of praise. We celebrate our great God. And so in verse 21, "My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever." And I think in this psalm, it is suggested that there are three things we might celebrate. The first is the Lord's greatness. In verse 3, we read, "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable." I suppose these great works of the Lord are his works in creation, in providence, and in redemption. Christians celebrate in commending the Lord's works. Verse 4, "One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts." Christians celebrate in speaking of the Lord's majesty. In verse 5, "On the glorious splendor of your majesty and in your wondrous works I will meditate," says the psalmist. And Christians celebrate as they meditate on those works that we read about in Scripture. His greatness is truly awesome. What's our response? Our response, of course, is to rejoice in the greatness of God, but also to tell of all his wondrous works. Verse 12 suggests to us, "To make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom." If we truly believe God's works are great and marvelous, we'll want to share it. Good news is something that we always want to share. And if we have some good news, we find it difficult to contain it to ourselves. We want to tell everybody, shout it from the rooftops. And I think this is something that the psalmist is getting at here. In one of the books of C.S. Lewis's Narnia Chronicles, a book called The Magician's Nephew, two people, Diggory and Polly, are transported into a place where they witness the creation of a new world. In the darkness, a beautiful voice sings stars into existence, followed by a newly created universe and a sunrise. And in the morning light, they see the singer and see that the singer is a lion. In response to his voice, grass spreads out like a carpet and trees grow in moments. Then animals begin to form out of the ground. When that creation is complete, the lion gives the gift of speech to the animals and they begin to celebrate the creation that the lion has made. And the lion celebrates with his creatures. Now, Lewis uses a Christian symbolism here and gives a fresh perspective in the wonder of the world that he's made and of the things that he's done. A world where the Son of God spoke into existence all that we see. For example, if we read the beginning of John's Gospel, we read these words: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made." So Jesus brought all things into existence. This was a time when our universe did not exist, and Jesus brought it into existence on the word of the Father. There was no matter, no energy, no time, and in response to its creation, morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God, the angels, we read, shouted for joy. Book of Job, chapter 38. So when earth was created, angels were there to celebrate. And they were there too at the birth of Jesus. And we read about that in Luke chapter 2, when the annunciation was given of his birth. Then the angels joined and they celebrated in praise to God for the birth of the Christ child. We were not there. We were created. Difficult to understand, perhaps, but appropriate that we celebrate his greatness as well in our life together and in our personal lives. We celebrate the greatness of God. Then I think the second thing we celebrate here is the compassion of God. In verse 7, we read, "They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness." God's abundant goodness. The generations will celebrate the Lord's goodness and joyfully sing of his righteousness, the psalmist says. And in verse 17, we read that the Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. This is expressed in three ways. First, in his patience. In verse 8, we read, "The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love." It's expressed in his love, again in verse 8, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And then thirdly, in his goodness, in verse 9, we read, "The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made." What's our response to that? Our response, of course, is praise. Verse 10, we read, "All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you." The praise of the Lord. Do we want to be set free in our praise of God, and set free to praise God? Augustine, who became St. Augustine, a Christian theologian of the 4th and 5th centuries, as a young man was a man of high intelligence, but also of moral depravity, he tells us. He was in a struggle, he says, in his early years. And I quote, "I was bound up," he says, "by the iron chain of my own will. I was rather an unwilling sufferer than a willing actor. And yet it was through me that habit had become an armed enemy against me." He was conscious that there were things that bound him, that he needed to be free from in order to serve and to praise God. I think struggle is something that resonates with us. Do we want to be set free in our struggles? And here Jesus is the key. In him and in his death we see love and compassion, the love and compassion of a heavenly Father. And we only need to look to him to find freedom and joy in our praise of God. That's the second thing we celebrate. And the third thing we celebrate, suggested here, is to celebrate the Lord's faithfulness. In verse 13, we read here. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works. You'll notice that second part of that sentence is in brackets, which suggests that it isn't found in all the manuscripts, and yet it speaks this wonderful word of the faithfulness of God. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving towards all he has made. And here we find the reason for that. Faithfulness implies friendship with his people. The Lord, it says here, is faithful to his promises. He has taken an oath. He expresses a sworn fidelity to his people, and he commits himself to his people. And I think the psalm suggests that this faithfulness is expressed in a number of ways. Firstly, in upholding the fallen. In verse 14, the Lord helps the fallen. Secondly, in lifting up the distressed, verse 14, he lifts up those beneath their loads, those who are distressed with experiences in life. He gives food where people need it. Verse 15, you give them their food as they need it, psalmist says. He satisfies our desires, verse 16. The Lord satisfies our desires, the hunger and thirst of every living thing. There is the Lord's sustaining providence. He hears prayer, verse 19. He hears their cries for help and rescues them. And then in verse 20, he protects his people. The Lord protects all those who love him. Our response to that, we rejoice and we receive, we acknowledge his faithfulness and surrender to him in service. I read on a Christmas card recently a verse from Helen Steiner Rice, actually on a Christmas card, and she says this: what better time and what better season, what greater occasion or more wonderful reason to kneel down in prayer and lift our hands high to the God of creation who made land and sky, and the God who made the world and who made us and who loves us is a God who is faithful to us day by day. We not only need to do that at Christmas time, of course, but at any time in the year we can think of all those wonderful things about God that we enjoy and can see and experience, and his compassion and faithfulness, and we can celebrate in praise. Jeremiah, as a prophet, was in the midst of destruction as Jerusalem was being destroyed by the Babylonians. And of course, most of the people went into captivity in Babylon. But Jeremiah, in that situation, celebrates God's faithfulness and compassion. In Lamentations chapter 3, we read, his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, says Jeremiah, the Lord is my portion. Therefore I will wait for him, to trust and to wait for God in any situation. We can celebrate our Saviour God. Let's just pray together. Father, we thank you that we can celebrate in song, but we can also celebrate in our hearts as we worship you and bow before you. We acknowledge your greatness. We acknowledge your compassion and your faithfulness, and we worship you for that. Help us in our lives day by day, whatever our circumstances, whatever struggles we face, to trust you as Jeremiah trusted you. And Lord, we pray that you'll help us to honor you. In Jesus' name.